La riscoperta della musica francese del XVII e XVIII secolo vede protagonista, in prima linea, il Centre de Musique Baroque de Versailles, rilevante istituzione con sede nella cittadina poco distante da Parigi che, ci permettiamo una piccola digressione rispetto al tema musicale per contestualizzarla storicamente, fu sede del potere politico del Regno di Francia dal 1682, quando il Re Sole vi trasferì la propria corte che qui risiedette, fino all'obbligo per la famiglia reale di fare ritorno nella capitale nell'ottobre del 1789 agli albori della Rivoluzione francese. Tornando quindi al Centre de Musique Baroque de Versailles, fu fondato nel 1987 con l'obiettivo di riunire diverse competenze e discipline musicali per riscoprire e valorizzare il patrimonio musicale francese del XVII e XVIII secolo attraverso la ricerca, le pubblicazioni, la formazione e la produzione di concerti. A ricordarci la sua storia, immersi nel fascino di questi luoghi, il suo direttore artistico, il musicologo francese Benoît Dratvicky. Buongiorno Benoît Dratvicky e ben trovato a Rete 2.
Buongiorno, I am Benoît Dratvicky, I'm a musicologist and I'm a specialist for the French opera especially and the question of the singers and the singing. And I am working in Versailles, in the Centre de Musique Baroque de Versailles, since almost 25 years.
Partiamo da qualche cenno alla grande rilevanza che la musica francese ebbe nell'Europa del XVII e XVIII secolo. Ovviamente sarebbe necessario parlarne a lungo, ma inevitabile il riferimento all'eredità lasciataci da autori come Lully, Charpentier e Rameau.
The French Baroque music is very particular. I think it's a separate story of all what has been done in Europe at the same times. Italian music, German music, English music are linked. You have the same composer, the same styles, the same languages. In French music, it's totally separate, and we were really alone defending a specific style, specific practices, and it was almost impossible for singers, at least, to be spread over Europe because of the language. And it was possible only for instrumentalists and for dancers. And some of them had a big success everywhere in Europe, especially the dancers. But the instrumentalists, well, it depended because the style was so specific, the music so specific that they had to mix their style and their practices with the one in Italy, Germany, or England. So all our research are done on specific sources with specific musicologists. It's a separate world. And we try for sure to create a lot of connections with what is done when people work on Bach, Handel, Vivaldi, and so on. But it's not so easy because, for example, we have very few castrates in France. And the story of the singing is so different. The instruments themselves are so different. The practice of harpsichord or viola da gamba or theorbo or what else in France was very particular. So it's a specific deal, and that's why it was important, certainly 40 years ago, to create a center specifically dedicated to this music.
Benoît Dratvicky. Un ricco patrimonio musicale che fu tuttavia in gran parte dimenticato dopo la Rivoluzione francese e per tutto il XIX secolo, ma con Debussy e Saint-Saëns e la creazione di una scuola francese di musicologia nel XX secolo si giunse ad una vera e propria rinascita della musica barocca negli anni Ottanta, che prevedeva anche l'esecuzione su strumenti d'epoca.
The story of French music and French baroque music and French historically informed practices is very particular because, in fact, since the 18th century, some people had in mind that the music of the past was certainly interesting and should be performed with in the original way. So we already have this at the end of the 18th century, people thinking that Lully was no more performed as it was supposed to be and thinking about how it should be performed. During the 19th century, we have to wait, in fact, the end of the war in 1870, when we lose everything against Germany, to create a big movement of recognition of the French talent in general, and music in particular. And at that time, on one side, there was the creation of the Société Nationale de Musique to promote the young composers of the time, but also inquiries about the composers of the past. And the composers that have been found at that moment, it was mainly Charpentier, Couperin, and Rameau, because they were true French composers. And Lully, for example, or Gluck, who have been very important at the time, they were not so famous at the time because they were Italian and German. And so we had to wait one century later, in the year 1980, to really begin to promote the full repertory with consideration for all kinds of composers. This has been done in the middle of the 1980s, the moment where Les Arts Florissants, for example, have been created, and then the Centre de Musique Baroque de Versailles, also created in 1987. And this was a big, big, big first step for the repertory and for the practices and for the use of old instruments. But since that time, we have found a lot of new things. And so nowadays, what is very exciting is that more or less half a century later, we could imagine that everything has been done and all the pieces have been rediscovered. For the pieces, to be honest, I think that the masterpieces have been rediscovered. Certainly there are some things to find, but we won't find the piece which is missing in the landscape. But for the practices, for sure, I would tell now it's generation 2.0 which can begin to work, because thanks especially to the numerization, we understand now a lot of things that was impossible to understand 50 years ago. And so how to perform Lully, how to perform Rameau, how to perform the motets or the chamber music or the symphony, not in the right way, there is not a right way, but how to perform it with a view which can really go into the practices and the habits of the time, now it's possible.
Significativo ai fini di questo movimento di rinascita a cui facevamo cenno il Centre de Musique Baroque de Versailles, fondato nel 1987. Sulla sua nascita e le attività da esso promosse.
When the center has been created, there were already some institutions in the world working on Baroque music, not French Baroque music, but Baroque music, but none of them joined all the type of works, that means researching, publishing, practicing or teaching and producing the works. And so what was very clever at the time was to put in the same institution all these different aspects, which makes the life of the institution a little bit complicated, because the time of research is longer than the time of teaching or production. So we have each year to understand each other how to work well together. But then we can carry the project from the very beginning, from the rediscovering of the source in a library until the recording of the concert. And so it helps to create a real link, and I would tell a real love, between researchers and performers. In other contexts in general, it's more often a fight between the old academy, who knows, on one side, and all the conductors, who knows, on the other side. So here we really try to make the project grow up in one way, with all different people around the table from the beginning until the end. It's not easy all the time, but it's very specific and I think very interesting.
Thank you. Benoît Dratwicki. Ad ospitare il Centre, un edificio storico, Hôtel des Menus Plaisirs, risalente al XVIII secolo, che possiamo dire contribuisce al fascino dell'operazione e custodisce a sua volta un'interessante storia.
The Centre de Musique Baroque de Versailles at the beginning was not here. It was in different places in Versailles, and in 1989, even a little bit before, for the bicentenary, the 200 years anniversary of the French Revolution, the city of Versailles and all the country, in fact, decided to rebuild or to refresh all the monuments linked with the history of the French Revolution. And so there was a beginning of big works here at the Hôtel des Menus Plaisirs, which was not so clean anymore and not and only used by the city, but I think for the gardeners or something like that. And so they decided to refresh the building. And as the building, in fact, is not a property of the city, but a property of the castle, the policy of the castle is to use the building nowadays more or less as it was used at the time. And so, as the CMBV, Centre de Musique Baroque de Versailles, was created, they decided to give us the building because our job was more or less the type of job that was done here at the time. And so, in fact, the installation here was only in 1996, 10 years after the creation of the centre. And it's a place very inspiring because it's a place where the human rights were signed. And so the beginning of the French Revolution, it was here. So each morning we don't do our revolution, but we are inspired by this place for sure.
A proposito di produzione, il centro ha come missione la promozione del patrimonio musicale francese del XVII e XVIII secolo, coprendo tutti i repertori dalla musica da camera alla musica sacra alle sinfonie, fino a generi teatrali come la tragedie lyrique, l'opéra ballet, l'opéra comique e il balletto. Ogni anno il centro produce o coproduce una trentina di progetti artistici, con circa 40 eventi che si svolgono ogni anno in Francia, in tutta Europa e nel mondo.
Our work is not to do alone the projects. We are here to help people to do projects about French music or to help them to do it better. So we are not a producer, we have not our own season, we have only our own scores. But what we try to do is to help performers to play pieces which are not known. It can be masterpieces because in some country, Armide by Lully has never been performed. So for us, sometimes we know the piece very well, but in the country, it's the first ever performance of the piece. And we also help a lot these people to connect. And we love to connect people together. I mean, to have a choir from one country with an orchestra from another country, with soloists from a third country. I think these type of connections are very interesting for art, but also for the social or the societal aspects nowadays in Europe. To be honest, these years now are beginning to be more complicated because the financial aspects are very difficult for us, but for everybody, which should make everybody work even more together. So, in fact, we need to work with others, but we try to mix new partnership with long-term partnership. So each year we are connecting with new ensembles or new concert halls that we did not know before. But we have also people with whom we worked since maybe 40 years. And Christophe Rousset with Les Talents Lyriques, we are just doing now Cadmus Hermione by Lully. We work with Christophe since, I think, 35 years. Just before, we worked with Hervé Niquet. We worked since 40 years with him, and we were here at the very beginning. We are still here. We work with the new generation, with young people, but we continue to work with the others because the others are also interesting to change their way of doing or to challenge their habits with new discoveries. So it's very interesting to work with all these generations. Now I think we are the fifth generation, or at least the fourth. So it's very interesting, very enthusiastic, but on the other hand, it's more and more complicated.
Je vous rendrai jamais, je vous rendrai jamais. jamais se rendre, on ne voudra jamais se rendre.